Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
I want you to turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and then we're going to be looking at verse 8. Just a short scripture. It's on your screen. And the Word of God says this, and I love this story, by the way. But it says, but Noah, everybody say, but Noah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace of the eyes of the Lord. And so tonight, we're going to continue with this alphabet study of the Hebrew letters. And we're starting with, again, with the eighth letter, and it is Chet. And there's a kind of a huh when you say it, but we're going to say Chet because it'll be a lot easier for us all say it that way. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity, and let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you, and we're so thankful tonight for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you're here. We ask that you'll continue to lead and guide and direct us. Bring all things back to our remembrance. Whatsoever has been spoken, whatsoever has been written, give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. And we will leave this place. We'll continue to bear much fruit and operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, and everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. So let's just recap last week. Last Wednesday night, we were talking about Zion. And Zion simply means a weapon. This letter meaning a weapon. And its numerical value is 7. And everybody, if you've studied anything with numbers out of the Bible, the meaning of numbers 7 means completion. Our key scripture last week was Hebrews 4 and 12, where it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder and soul and spirit, and is and of joints and marrows, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so anything that we need in these last days, Brother Dale, we need discernment. There are things that are happening in our nation right now, decisions that are being made, and people are jumping on board, but I don't think anybody's really praying. I don't think anybody's really hearing from the Lord. It may look good, but it may not be good. And there's people, listen, I've always abided by this policy, this philosophy of ministry, that personnel is policy. So you have to be very cautious of who you put on your team. If you put people on your team that are troublemakers, people that have no no character, people that are not living for God. You have those people who are unfaithful, where the word of God says, how dangerous it is to have those type of people on your team. When you have those type of people on your team, what you're telling people is that your team is not healthy. It's not effective. And personnel is policy. And there's things that are going on right now in this nation, especially in politics, in government, that I feel like it's a warning, and that we as the body of Christ need to be very concerned with the direction this nation is headed. And so I just want you to keep that in mind. And we talked about Zion last Wednesday night, and Zion being the letter meaning a weapon. And as I pointed out in times past, when you think of Hebrews 4:12, it being the word of God sharper than any two-edged sword, well, I always talk about this double-edged sword representing one side of the edge is the Old Testament, and the other side of the edge is the New Testament. And it is in both testaments that we need. We need the Old Testament and we need the New Testament. There are pastors today who don't preach out of the Old Testament. They say, well, that's not of today, and they are deceived. They are an error, as I believe James calls it, or Jude, and they are making a huge mistake by not seeking out the entire Word of God. So it takes both testaments to pierce the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and to bring discernment of the thoughts and the motives of the heart. And so the Word of God is our Zion, or our weapon of strength. And also we learned last Wednesday night that Zion, this letter, seventh letter of the Hebrew alphabet, is also the deflector. So if we had a sword, we have a sword that is rightly dividing the Word of God. It is sharp on both ends, both sides, and it's cutting the Scripture. It's opening up to us. It's cutting our soul open, and we're able to understand and become enlightened of what God is speaking to us. And then it also is a deflector. The sword deflects. It deflects other things that happen, even the lies, the accusations, the things that people, the words, because we know that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And there are people who will throw those fiery darts of the devil, those words at us. And not only would we use our shield of faith, but we can also use, Brother Dale, the sword of the Spirit to deflect those deceptive undertones of the enemy, if you will. And so I love that thought, because you see Jesus using the Word of God in the wilderness against Satan, right? He is using the Word of God. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is Matthew 4 and 4. And so then we culminated the entire lesson with this scripture. And I think somebody tonight needs to hear this scripture. It'll be on your screen, Isaiah 54 and verse 17. It says, no weapon. Everybody say, no weapon. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee, there is thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness of me is, saith the Lord. And so, thank God that there's no weapon. I want you to understand that tonight, that there's no weapon formed. The devil is doing all he can in these last days to deceive, to divide, to deter, to cause the Christian, the believers, to get off course. And so we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. How many is grateful for that tonight? So I love this next letter, Chet. Again, you could say it with a heavy K, as they would pronounce it in Israel, but we will call it Chet tonight. I love this because we're looking at Genesis 6 and 8 right here. Genesis 6 and 8, that is our opening text. And I loved, I had so many options to use this letter. I thought this would be the best one, where it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We are living in the days of Noah. There's no doubt about it. We are living in the days of Lot. Jesus even warned us that in the last days, it would be the days as of, he says in the New Testament, N-O-E, no, but it's actually Noah. And we are living in those days. We are living in days where men, their heart is evil, continually evil. Men are trying to have autonomy over all areas of life, including death. They want autonomy over their own decisions, over everything. And we need to realize that we're living in the last days. And although God will not flood the earth, will not allow another flood of the entire earth, that is not going to mean that there will not be any kind of tribulation coming to this earth. We are seeing it firsthand. So this letter, Chet, is the eighth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, number eight. Number eight. Keep that in mind because this is important. When you look at this letter, Chet, it is the letter that means, it means fence. It also means doorway, and it means inner chambers. Now, if you were to look at this modern text of this letter, Chet, it resembles another letter, does it not? It looks familiar. It looks like, hey, wait, we already had this letter. The only difference between this letter and the letter hey is that hey had a gap between the two. This letter, Chet, is connected. I love the thought of Chet being connected, not being a gap, because simply because of the number eight. And I'll explain to you in a few moments why I mean that. But if you were to live in the pro-Canaanite times, way the thousands and thousands of years, this would be the letter Chet. If you were to be living in the times of Moshe or Moses, this was what Chet would look like. It would look like this. Both of these are pretty close together. And then if you were to live in King David's time, this is what the letter Chet would look like, or Chet would look like. It would look like that. All three of them resemble a fence. They absolutely look like some sort of fence. And I love that. because there's something there when we think about this. And so this brings me to the first prophetic truth about the letter Chet. It is the letter of life. The letter of life. Where do you get this from? Well, I get it from this Hebrew word, chayim, which is C-H-A-Y-I-M, chayim. Chayim means life. It starts with this first letter, C-H-Ch, and it means life. And so it is the letter of life. Now, there's again another connection with life, with doorway, with inner chamber, and obviously with the number 8. And so I love that. It also is, you can get the word chaya, is another Hebrew word, C-H-A-Y-A, and it means living. And both begin with this same letter, Tet. It is the letter of life. But not only is it the letter of life, Pastor Crystal, it is number 2, the second prophetic truth about Chet, it is the doorway of life. I can't help but imagine that Noah, instructed by God to round up all these animals, right? Load them on an ark made out of gopher wood. And here he is, Brother Dale. You appreciate this. So will you, Brother Vernon, because you both preach the Word of God. So does Haley. Pastor Crystal does as well. And so does Jose. He preaches as well. But you would appreciate this, because Noah is preaching for 100 years and telling them to get their lives right, that change is coming, warning is coming. Have you ever felt like Noah before? That you've been trying to convey this message over and over again and nobody's listening? It wasn't until it started raining. You know, they say one of the greatest revivals, it was, I've done a lot of historical research on revivals where the Holy Spirit actually came, and a lot of people give William Seymour a lot of credit with the Azusa Revival, and I've read books on that, and yeah, he came from Kansas. He was involved in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Los Angeles. Yes, the Azusa Street Revival was great. But did they say this, that it wasn't necessarily just William Seymour and just a handful of people praying for revival, but what really brought revival was the great earthquake that took place in San Francisco. That's what really took place. That's what really got people, because they thought, hey, this is the end of the world. There was already a great outpouring in Scotland. There was already, even years, decades before, there was a great revival happening in the hills of eastern Kentucky. Even among Native Americans, there were great revivals where God had brought in missionaries and people that spoke in the holy language and in other tongues, and you see all this is happening. But really, what I think is what ignites revival to a people is when there's a great shaking, when there's catastrophe or crisis or chaos. And so this is the second letter. You look at it being a doorway of life, because here you have a doorway, a literal door that God shut. God, the Bible says, God shut the door of the ark. And all life that was going to exist post-flood was accumulated on this boat. That's amazing to me. Because percentage-wise, that's amazing to me. It's incredible to me that there's a remnant, just like we preached a few weeks ago, of remnant that God has. And Noah and his sons' wives were that remnant of people. That was the doorway of life, and that is Chet. Chet can resemble a doorway. It does. It kind of looks like a door, doesn't it? You know, I've shared with you how they would take the blood of the animals and of the lamb, and they would spread it upon the doorpost during Pesach, during Passover, as they left the night. The death angel would appear in Egypt, in the land of Egypt, and then they were in Goshen, and they weren't troubled by the death angel, because when the death angel saw the blood, when God saw the blood, he would pass over. He would actually pass over, or even straddle them and cover them, because they were covered by the blood of Jesus over those doorposts. And that's why it's so important that we have our lives covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, "Hey neighbor, are you covered?" Exodus 12 and 7 said, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and upon the upper door posts and of the houses, and they shall eat." And in John 10 and 7 says, Jesus said it again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." So Chet is a door of the sheep. So let's think about this. I'm going to close, and I'm closing early tonight. So how can I make this message, prophetic truths of the Hebrew, about the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Chet, count for life? Well, as we always said, the best way to make true and pure application of our teaching is to look at this letter, Chet, in its ancient form to proclaim its biblical truth. And we're using it as a pictograph. And a pictograph is simply a symbol or a sign for a letter or a word. And again, as I've been teaching, it's so crucial to note that these Hebrew word pictures do not replace, define, or limit Scripture. But what it is doing for you and I tonight, it is illustrating Scripture. So we have this picture of a fence. Perhaps this one would be a good example. Looking like a fence, so to speak, right? We also have it. The gematria, or the number value of this, is Chet, of the number 8, of the letter Chet. The number value is 8. Now, this is interesting, because does anybody know what the number 8 represents? It represents new beginnings. Now, look what the Bible said. But Noah, what did it say? Found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What is God saying to us right this moment? I want you to get prophetic. What is God saying to you right this moment? God is saying, "I have new beginnings for your life." He is opening a door. I was in much prayer the last almost 3 weeks, Brother Vernon, I've been up praying. Last night I was up from 1 to almost 5 o'clock in the morning and just meditating and praying for Sister Charlotte, praying for a bunch of needs that were going on, praying for people. And I know the Lord has been saying to my life, and I shared it with my wife, that God has new doors opening for us. And I believe that He's saying that to you. A new door is opening for you. A new beginning. Nice. You see this. It represents new beginnings. It represents, you look at the number 5 being grace, but you look at 8 being new beginnings. And so we see this concept of new beginnings in Scripture. Let me show you and prove to you. We're talking about making this connection of the number 8 to this letter Chet being new beginnings. What happens? Anybody? What happens the 8th day of a child? A baby boy. Circumcision. Circumcision, the covenant of circumcision, occurs on what day? The 8th day, number 8. The Lord, when He is talking to Abraham, and He is explaining to Abraham that I have this covenant for you, the Lord reaffirms that covenant to Abraham. Look it in your Bible. He reaffirms it 8 times. Think about this. King David, he have all these brothers. Guess what? King David was the 8th son of Jesse. If you were into the Feast of Israel, Sukkot is the 8th day, Jewish festival anticipating the Olam Haba, which is the world to come. And then number 5, there were how many on the ark? How many? There were 8 souls on Noah's Ark. So amazing. New beginnings. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What if we all determined tonight? You know, that's what I want. I want to find grace in the eyes of God. Not anything that I can do. You know, Jeremy, and I appreciate Jeremy a lot. I appreciate the Dixon family, the entire family, Rebecca, all of them, Janie, Roy, all of them. Too many to name, right? I appreciate this family. One of the things, Jeremy, that I see is that we try to work, and I can see Jeremy pumping that iron. And what I mean by iron, I'm talking about weightlifting. And we try to work ourselves. So many times we try to work ourselves to do good, to do these things, to try to get God's attention, when he simply says, it's grace. It's all God's grace. It's something that we have to realize, we can't earn it. It is a gift from God. And it's through faith, through believing in him. I don't know about you, but I need grace in my life. God's, and we say, I know there's this definition of grace that circulates the church for years. They say it's unmerited favor. That's not true. Grace is God's sustaining power to help us do what's right. Mercy is God's unmerited favor. We don't deserve it, but God gives us grace and mercy. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, you say, Pastor JC, I feel like God is opening some doors in my life. I feel like there's new beginnings that's going to take place in my life, and I just want to find the grace of God through this. I have a determination. I'm going to find the grace of God. You realize that Gospel Lighthouse Church right now is on the verge of new beginnings. You don't even know it. But God has something great for this community of believers. New beginnings. You're here this evening, you say, Pastor JC, I just want to find that grace. Is that you tonight? Can you hold your hand up high and say, hey, that's me. I see hands all in this room. Yeah, that's me. Grace for this moment of my life. Yes, I see your hands. Grace. Grace for this moment in my life. I'm going to ask Anna E., if you will, if she could come and pray for our Spanish congregation.
Gracias, Señor hermoso, bendito de la gloria, en esta hora, mi Señor Jesús. Queremos ser, Padre Santo, ser hallados como su hijo Noé, Padre, que él tuvo, Padre Santo, esa gracia, Señor, a sus ojos, mi Rey, mi poderoso Jesús. Padre, mire, aquí están nuestros hermanos, Padre Santo, venezolanos, mi Dios amado. Gracias, Señor, porque se glorificó en este día, Padre, y le entregó una victoria, Padre Santo, a nuestro hermano José, Señor. Que sus propósitos se cumplan en la vida de él, en su hogar, en su matrimonio, mi Dios. Gracias, Señor, porque esas puertas usted se las va a abrir, Padre, en el nombre de Jesús. Le pido también por Jenny, por Carlos, Padre mío, que ellos caminen, Padre Santo, siempre, Padre bendito de la gloria, con paso firme, Señor, buscando de su rostro y de su presencia, mi Dios. Gracias, Señor amado, porque podemos ver tu misericordia y tu favor moverse a favor de nosotros, Padre mío. Sé que no estamos solos ni desamparados, mi Señor, porque usted está con nosotros como poderoso gigante. Usted es el que pelea nuestras batallas, mi Dios, y el que nos va a ayudar, Padre, el que va a abrir el camino enfrente de nosotros, Señor, y nos va a guardar, como lo dice su palabra en el Salmos 91, Padre, en el Salmo 23, Padre Santo, en el Salmo 27, Dios mío. Le pido en esta hora, mi Señor amado, una petición especial, Señor, por Ricardo, Señor. Gracias porque no has sido deportado de esta nación, Señor mío. Te pido que te glorifiques, Padre Santo, y que Él pueda venir, Señor, después del día 4 de marzo, pararse en este altar y testificar, Señor, que tú eres un Dios de poder, un Dios de amor, un Dios lleno de misericordia. Abre las puertas de esa celda, mi Señor amado, en el nombre de Jesús. Y te pido que le entregues la victoria y le des, Padre Santo, esos papeles que él necesita, Señor. Para ti no hay nada imposible. Usted es el que pone, Señor, y el que abre, Señor amado, a su pueblo en frente, Dios mío, de todo aquel, Señor, que, Dios mío, usted nos va a llevar, Padre Santo, y nos va a hacer volar, Señor, como las águilas. Gracias, Señor, porque usted es bueno. Bendiga a todos mis hermanos, Dios mío, los que están aquí, mi hermano Jeremy, su familia, Señor, mi hermana Hailey, Padre, todos los que estamos aquí presentes, ayúdenos, Señor, a caminar con un corazón obediente y con un corazón agradecido, Señor amado. Gracias por ese milagro de mi hermana Charlotte, Señor. Bendice a nuestro pastor JC, Señor. Guárdalo en buena salud, Padre, en el nombre de Jesús, su esposa, sus hijos, Padre. Que esta casa, Señor amado, se va a llenar de su gloria y que, Señor amado, será llena, Dios mío, esta casa de su presencia. Gracias por los milagros sobrenaturales que usted hará, mi Dios, en el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
Yes. Amén. Give the Lord a good hand clap. Thank you so much. So I stopped the live stream and I wanted to tell you, those of you that are here tonight, Sunday morning, the Lord had given me a word for Jose and his family, and the Lord had shown me last week, a couple weeks ago, that this young man and his family, beautiful family, this young man was called to preach. I've never met him, I don't know anything about him, but the Lord showed me that he was called. There's a calling upon his life, and then he sent a text Sunday explaining that he had been called to preach, and he had been preaching, and it had been a number of years since he had preached. I had no idea that, but the reason I bring that up is because that is God's grace. That is God's grace. From this city, Blytheville, to Venezuela by air, it is 2,100 miles. I'm telling you, none of us would have ever seen this, but God, just like Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. 2,100 miles away from their home country, these families that are attending our church, including Anna E and her families, they are finding grace in the eyes of God. And we are a small part of this. That's why I really push, especially our leadership. I get so disappointed. I appreciate our leadership that come. I get so disappointed that many of the other leaders don't attend on Wednesday night, because this is so crucial. We are at a crucial moment, and they're going to miss it. They're going to miss out on what God is doing. And I just pray for them. I leave it in the hands of the Lord. It's better it be in the hands of God, because God will know how to deal with people. But nevertheless, I see these families that we fell in love with, and God will open the door for them. He will become their ark. He will become their ark. He will become the presence, the protection, the provision. God will become so much to these families. And whatever happens, happens. But nevertheless, if one soul gets a seed, gets planted, or gets watered, it's been worth it all. Amen. Let's stand together in this room. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for being here. We just believe the Lord has great things in store for you this week. I believe the Lord is going to protect and heal and strengthen your life. I believe that God is going to bless you and honor you and strengthen you. No fear. ¿Cómo se dice fear en español? No miedo. See, no fear. Absolutely no fear. Faith. ¿Cómo se dice faith en español? Sí. So, no fear, but faith in Dios, faith in God. Hallelujah. Gloria a Dios. Let's lift our hands toward heaven. Let's say our Arianat Kunin blessing. Yea, vare, kakad, and a viesmere, call your all, Adonai, penavalek, aviawain, call your saw, Adonai, penavalek, viesemla, call shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you and give you peace. Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee and heal the world.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.